Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Hour number two coming up this weekend out at the fairgrounds, Nashville Celebrity Comic Con. It's going to be here, and one of the people you can go meet and greet, the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, WWE Hall of Famer, the Honky Tonk Man. And he joins us now on the program. Honky Tonk Man, how the heck are you?
Boy, that was sweet music you were playing. I'll tell you, every time I hear that song, I just want to get up and shake, rattle, and roll.
It's one of the most iconic wrestling themes of all time. I mean, any generation hears that, and they know it's you. That has to be special.
Yes, it really was. And had a great time doing it, and for all those years. You know, but as time went on, I was kind of like some of the other performers that do concerts. It's like, man, I'm tired of singing that same song over and over and over. But now it's like a classic, and I love it.
I can remember, I believe it was WrestleMania 6, you coming out in the Cadillac and the song playing in Toronto. How cool was that, just that atmosphere? And I believe Diamond Dallas Page was your driver.
Yes, he was driving the Cadillac. And, of course, we had Jimmy Hart holding up the gold record and the two singers. Girls that he brought over from Memphis, and we call them the Honkettes, and it had Greg Valentine in there also, and Valentine didn't do too much singing.
No, that might be a good thing. The Honky Tonk Man is with us. So how excited? I mean, look, you're just down the road in Memphis. How excited are you to come to Nashville and meet some fans?
Well, you know, when you say down the road, I am. I'm in Phoenix. I've been out here for 30 years. I left Memphis 32 years ago, and I moved out here to Arizona to retire, and I've been working more since I moved out here than ever. But I have not been in Nashville in, probably 20 years, and the city has taken off. I mean, I've never seen such growth as what's going on in Nashville, because, you know, Memphis was always the place, and Nashville just happened to be the state capital. But otherwise, you know, Nashville just was – Nashville, but man, it has exploded there.
Well, you're in for a treat, because it's quite different than it was the last time you were here. Why do you think wrestling was so big in the state of Tennessee? Obviously, you had, you know, everything going on in Memphis and then here in Nashville, but this is a wrestling hotbed, and it always has been.
Yes, it has, and I think it was promoted well there by Nick Gulas when he was there. I worked for Nick, and I worked out at the fairgrounds. I had probably 100 matches out there, so it'll be a real homecoming just to go back and see that place and see what it looks like out there. But it was a great territory, and then Memphis and Nashville and that whole area. And, you know, it's still a hotbed for wrestling. They just don't have as many promotions there as they used to have. And once when local TV stopped promoting the wrestling, then it kind of went away, and that's just a big national organization.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it depends on who you ask. Some people, you know, would tell you that it was a good thing for the business, that, you know, Vince was obviously a big part of that, and the WWF becoming what it became. But, you know, I know, as a kind of a historian of wrestling and watching, you know, a lot of the classic matches, the territory days were just so much fun.
It was exciting. It was a great time of my life, and I wouldn't change it at all, because to ride the highways days and nights and between the towns was fabulous, and the fans were really, really good. They were excited to see you, and of course, you know, they hated us bad guys, and there was fights in the crowd and fights in the parking lots, but that was all part of it, and that's how I learned my craft. And I think that's what's missing in today's world.
The Honky Tonk Man, WWE Hall of Famer, is on the line with us. So you had that run as the Intercontinental Champion, and I hated to see it be broken by Gunther a few years ago, but it was the longest reign for a very, very long time. What was that whole run like for you, of holding that title and defending it and just adding to the prestige of the Intercontinental Championship?
Well, it was something I knew that if I had the opportunity and that I could make it work, and I did, because I had championship belts in different parts of the country, you know, in Memphis and Nashville and Pensacola and Puerto Rico. So I understood what it took to be a top guy and to work on as a main event. It's a different style you have to have. And obviously I worked hard on my promos. I was a good promo guy. I was probably one of the best in the business, not toot my own horn, but I mean, I could stand up with anybody when it came to spewing out the language, and that helped. And my Southern style, which they had not seen a lot of in the New York territory, I think that helped me because I was that cowardly, dastardly bad guy that would do something behind the ref's back. All the fans could see it, but the referee couldn't see it. And that just enhanced my ability to make people really come to see me lose. That's what they paid to see me get beat.
They did, but you're right about promos. You were great on the mic, and I always enjoyed those. Do you watch much wrestling these days?
No, I really don't. I don't. It's such a different product. It's not the same, and I don't know any of the young kids over there anymore, and most of them don't even know me. And I say now that the talent in today's wrestling, they're not fans. They're not fans of wrestling. I was a fan of pro wrestling. I loved it, and I knew guys, and I'd read the magazines and watch as much of it as I could on TV. These kids nowadays, they're fans of a TV show called Raw. They're fans of a big event called WrestleMania. They're not students of the game.
Yeah, that's fair. Honky Tonk Man is with us. He will be at the fairgrounds this weekend at the Nashville Celebrity Comic Con. You can go and meet him. Just go to NashvilleCelebrityComicCon.com for more information. 2019, you were inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame, and I remember watching that ceremony and how big of a deal that was. And you know, you look at your entire career, you know, through different organizations and then through the WWE. How special was that to get that call and be able to go and have your rightful place in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I tell people that it took 47 years, but I finally made it. but it was exciting, and the timing was right. I felt like it was time for it to happen, and it did, and I enjoyed the whole part of it. And I was reunited backstage with Brutus Beefcake and Bret Hart and, of course, Hulk Hogan, and we all sat around and had a great time, and it was fun. The only thing I didn't we weren't able to say other promoters' names, and you know, they didn't want you to say anything about Vince McMahon. You couldn't say thank you to him, but I think that's what was missing out of our speeches, where we couldn't say to thank Robert and Ron Fuller or my cousin Jerry Lawler for all the help that he gave me, and of course, Stu Hart in Calgary, who gave me the big break where I got to go to WWF. And that was one thing that I missed out of the speech. Otherwise, everything I said was all true. I mean, the name came from the song, I'm a Honky Tonk Man. And that's how it all happened.
Yeah, and it was awesome. You know, Stampede Wrestling, like I'm a huge fan of Bret Hart and his late brother Owen and their whole family. What was it like working for Stu and also seeing, you know, the Hart brothers at an early age?
Well, you meet one or two of them, and the next thing you know, here comes two or three more, and it's like a dozen. But they were all great. They were good to me. They liked what I did. Nobody up in that part of the country had ever seen this jumpsuit wearing Elvis impersonator, and it was really fun to do. And Stu gave me the platform to go out and perfect this thing, you know, and work on it and do it my way. And that's what's important when it's character development, is you're able to be yourself and just get some little guidance about it, but then do it your way. And he did that for me. And I worked with Bret 100 times and all those kids, and I enjoyed it. The only thing I didn't enjoy was I left Pensacola, Florida. I had my college letter jacket from Memphis State and blue jeans and cowboy boots. 3 days later, it was 35 below zero. What a shock it was. But I spent 5 years up there.
Yeah. Was Brett one of those guys when you got in the ring with him, like you kind of knew there was something there? Was he one of those, and did you have others throughout your career that you just kind of knew they had something special?
Yeah, Brett was the best of all the Hart boys. He was the best, obviously, in the ring. And Owen came along and was very good. I was there when Owen first started, and he was very talented in a different way. He did more acrobatics than Brett did. But yeah, the first time I saw Hulk Hogan in Panama City, Florida, he walked in the locker room and this guy had it's just something about some people when they walk into a place that you know they're special. And I knew this Hulk Hogan was going to be something. And I, same way with this kid, The Rock, which I had worked with The Rock's father, Rocky Johnson, many times in Nashville and Memphis. And when this kid came along, he was 12 years old. And he just had something. He, as a 12-year-old, he could walk, he could talk, he could do all the stuff and imitate all of us at a very young age. So when you see someone like that, you know they're going to be good.
Yeah, and The Rock obviously still doing it even today. Honky Tonk Man, this has been fantastic to be able to catch up with you. We're looking forward to having you back in Nashville this weekend at the Nashville Fairgrounds. I know a lot of fans are going to be there to meet you. But thanks so much for doing this today.
Well, I enjoy it. This is all I do now is Comic Cons. I travel all over the world doing them. I get to see all the fans, and it's such a great event. And this is going to be really good. I look so forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Absolutely. Honky Tonk Man, WWE Hall of Famer, joining us here on the show. He will be at the Nashville Celebrity Comic Con this weekend at the Nashville Fairgrounds. Just go to NashvilleCelebrityComicCon.com for more information and for your tickets. That was a lot of fun. Always really cool to catch up with some of the Hall of Famers in pro wrestling. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yeah, we got to get better up front. There's no doubt. We had too many sacks given up, too much pressure. We have to be able to settle that part down. We got to improve the front. I would say you got to improve the fronts on both sides. We're looking to add talent on both sides of the fronts, and I think you can see, you know, the teams that were in it at the end there, that was a major part in their successes was their ability to play, you know, stout, strong defense and pass rush, and then you got to be able to protect it. So we're always looking for trench players, I guess is the best way to put it. But yeah, there's always that outlier. If you could find a great guy, a guy that can score touchdowns at a high rate, that part factors in.
Brian Callahan earlier today at the NFL Combine. I think it's safe to say back here, Chasing Big Joe, I think it's safe to say that, yes, they got to get better on both the offensive front and the defensive front because the game is won in the trenches. And but I am glad to hear both Borgonzi and Callahan say they're going to be selective in free agency because I think – we all were excited last year. They had all this cap space. They spent money. They signed guys. But it almost felt like that some of the guys they signed, they were just signing to fill a position. It is, you know, and yes, they have a lot of holes that they have to fill. But you got to get the right guys for the right team. And it feels like that they've identified some guys that they believe are going to be the right guys for the right team. And that's what they're going to go after. If they don't get them, they're not going to go just sign the next guy to sign somebody. Borgonzi said that. And I think that's a smart way of going about it because you're not just bringing bodies in just to bring bodies in. So I think that is a very, very important thing. Brian Callahan said to Nashville reporters, Teron Davenport put this on X. Brian Callahan said, as a coach, you have to be careful about being overconfident and feeling like you can fix a player. Sometimes you just have to let them do their thing. I think that's interesting, and that goes with just getting the right guys, you know, in with this team. Hopefully they can do that starting in free agency, but also through the draft. And you know, I think Titans fans have to understand that if they don't fix everything this year, I know you've been patient enough and you're tired of losing and all that, but you have now officially changed the regime. You got Borgonzi in here, you know, Brinker's obviously in his role, Callahan in second year. They may not fix it all in one year. They probably won't fix it all in one year. But if it feels like, you know, 2016 that they could, you know, trade the number one overall pick like Robinson did and, you know, fill enough holes where all of a sudden here they are. They have a winning record. You know, but I think you have to be realistic in all of that and, you know, with the moves they're going to make. But I know in listening to Borgonzi, I am very intrigued. You know, he said anytime you're trading the number one pick, you would expect a big return. I think that's our expectation. He was asked about that, Jim Wyatt putting that out there, you know, if they were to trade the number one pick. He wouldn't say who, but he said he'd been fielding some phone calls on the number one overall pick. That's what you expect this time of year. That, you know, you would expect that at this event, at the Combine, other GMs are going to come up to him and be like, all right, so what are you thinking? What would you take? You know, this is what we could do. We're kind of interested in it. How interested are you of moving off of it? You know, I do get the sense that, you know, they're going to play things close to the vest, but I do get the sense that they're not hell-bent on taking one of these quarterbacks. They're not opposed to it, but they're not like, no, we are absolutely taking Sanders or Ward. Is it? Did you get that too?
I did. Excuse me. I did get that notion of that they're not sold on, you know, putting all their chips in on a top quarterback. I mean, that clip we played earlier about bringing in a veteran guy and teaching, you know, yep, the younger quarterbacks, that sounds great. And to the fact of the matter, if that is possibly Will Levis to be the one learning, I wouldn't be opposed to that either. But it's a little bit more on the not so hot side. But I'm with on that. I'm all in on this, I guess, notion that they said, hey, bring in an older guy, teach. And that's the hierarchy that a lot of NFL teams used to use and then got away from because the NFL was so, I guess, trigger happy when it came to younger quarterbacks, like CJ Stroud, Caleb Williams, guys that you can get on a very cheap contract because of the draft, and you're able to try to turn a profit that way. But I feel like the old traditional way, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, go back to that.
Yeah, for sure. All of our Combine updates this week brought to you by the New Cumberland Brought to you by the New Cumberland, Nashville's resort-style community overlooking downtown on the Cumberland River. Check them out, newcumberland.com. Appreciate them for being on board. So we will continue the Titans talk throughout the day, but coming up next, Predators back in action tonight. Hal Gill going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on post-Four Nations Predators and the trade deadline looming. Also, Smashville Live coming up tomorrow at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. The Factor, Ryan O'Reilly, will be the guest on Smashville Live tomorrow at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. So go check out Ryan O'Reilly as he will be there. Hal Gill next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Predators back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena against the Florida Panthers. And Hal Gill joins us now on the program. Skillsy, thanks for moving around. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I know you could have just kicked me off, but rescheduling is good. I appreciate it.
No, I have to have my Skillsy time. That is for sure. Because there's a lot.
I need.
there's a lot to discuss, my friend.
Yes, there is, and I need some of you time.
Yeah. So as you look at this, I mean, it's no secret where the Predators are, and you know you're going to see some young guys come through. The trade deadline's here in a couple weeks. Probably going to be some changes as Barry Trotz looks to ahead to improve for the future. You know, I know these guys are competitive, and they are certainly going to give everything they got every night. But you've been in situations like this of when does reality kind of set in, and how do you power through that? Like, you know, knowing kind of where the season has gone, you know, how do you put the skates on every night and go out there and continue to compete like these guys are doing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the bottom line is it comes down to being a pro. You either have it or you don't. And the guys that can't be professionals usually don't last too long. You know, there's a lot of reasons, and we're not just talking about winning or losing seasons. We're talking about like all the time, right? You have the human element where you could be in a winning season, and you know maybe you're not playing on the line you want to play with, and there's a lot of things that go on in your life around you, the distractions that you have to fight through, and losing and being on a losing team is just another one of those distractions. So as a young guy, you got to say, hey, this is my career. This is my livelihood. I need to bring it every night, and I need to grow my game, whether we're winning or losing. As a veteran, you're still looking to prove yourself. You know, you can look at all the success that a guy like Ryan O'Reilly has had and over his career, but he still wants to go and prove it every night, and he's got to. And in his mind, he's thinking, you know, I got to go out and be a reason why this team is successful and be a reason why someone would want me to play hockey next year. And I think that's the thing that you really sets in is like, this is what I do. This is what I love. This is how I feed my family. This is where I make my money. I got to go out there and I got to perform. And so being a pro is finding whatever it takes, whatever makes you click, you got to find it and you got to make sure you bring it every night. You know, that being said, when you go through this, it's when you're not playing, you relax a little bit after. You know, you're on a losing season. You're not stressed about the playoffs, so you shut off after the game. You're not worried about watching other teams and who's winning and what place you're in. You become that guy that goes out and has to turn it back on, and that's the challenge. Is the game's over? Okay, I got through another one. I shut it off. You take a day off. You have practice. You go through the motions a little bit. You try to get better. You try to learn from it. And then you have to gear back up. And that becomes the challenge is night in, night out, you have to find a way to reignite the flame.
Hal Gill is with us. And look, we all know that this year there were a lot of expectations. You know, Barry Trotz had put a team together that he felt was going to compete for not only a playoff spot, but potentially the Stanley Cup. It obviously didn't go that way. So now that he evaluates this roster now and the roster of the future, what is the challenge of not chasing it too much, not trying to make too many changes so that they can continue to be on track to not only build for the future, but also be competitive in the now starting next season?
Yeah, I think you got to look at, you know, it's the sum of the parts, and you got to try to look at all the parts and see what parts are going to be successful for you in the future. And I think, like you said, you can't overthink too many things. I do believe, and I think most people in the organization believe, that with a couple tweaks, this team could be a cup contender next year. And so you don't want to lose grasp of that, but you also don't want to chase it and overstep yourself trying to think like we can do this next year. You have to have a little bit of patience, but there is that belief, I think. And that can be a sticky ground to go through, is where you're, okay, you know, we get this guy, we get that guy, we move this piece, we move that piece. Who are we then? And I think that's been the challenge really all year, is like, who is this team and what can this team be and how can they be that together? And so there's going to have to be some tweaks. It's just the nature of the business. You lose and things change, and you just don't want to change too much so that you're standing on the outside going, okay, we lost this and we kind of, you know, we lost the future a little bit. So that's a challenge, and that's hard to do. And it's hard to evaluate players on a losing team, because you have a lot of good players. And when they're losing, no one looks good, right? And so you have to find a way of, you know, breaking down a player's performance on a losing team and being honest with that and saying, okay, they're doing the right thing. It's just in the wrong mix, as opposed to this isn't a guy who can be part of our future. And so that's where the scouts come in. That's where you try to get opinions from your whole organization to make good, informed decisions.
Hal Gill is with us. So, you know, in that evaluation, Andrew Brunette, obviously, when things don't go well, everybody looks at the coach. We all know that. But I feel like he can use some of his experience of over 1,000 games as a player in the NHL. He's been through good. He's been through bad. How important is that experience in a time like this of him, you know, being able to coach these guys and keep these guys motivated, but also relate to them at the same time?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge really every coach has, right? Is, okay, it's great. Everything's great. You know, when you're winning, all you have to do is really just keep feeding the ego and keep the boys going. When you're losing, you know, you have to push buttons. You have to try to change things. And then when you're, you know, out of a playoff hunt, it's harder to push those buttons. It's harder to be positive. You don't want to rain down on them and be negative, because it's a fine line between winning and losing. They've had a lot of games where they're right in it and they could have gone the other way. You learn from those and you try to teach those moments, but I think that's the challenge for a newer coach in Bruno, to try to figure out which buttons to push and how you motivate these guys, because that's your job, to go out there and get the best out of your team. Now you have to go out and try to do that under these circumstances, and that's a huge challenge, especially for a newer coach.
Hal, I just saw on Twitter that, and this is a fun way to kind of end things, 48 years ago today, Slapshot was released. Pete Weber's got to be excited.
Yeah, you know what? I just saw Pete, and I'm surprised he didn't say that. I'm not surprised that's not the first thing he said. Yeah, but what a classic. I will tell you, Buyer Beware, I thought that was, it's one of the greatest movies of all time. It should not be shown to a 12-year-old boy,
No, it should
even
not.
If he is into hockey, and I always tell people, like, that's the minor league, that's the way the minor leagues go, and then you watch the movie, and you're like, well, no, not all of it, like, that isn't really how it goes, especially to a 12-year-old boy. So be careful watching it, but it's a must-see, right? I mean, that's some of the greatest one-liners, some of the greatest, I think one of the greatest hockey movies, certainly, of all time. So we should honor it and treasure it, but just be careful who we show that one to.
Yeah, Talon Gill may not be ready for it yet, is what you're telling me.
No, he's not there. No, he is far from there. Thank God.
It's 90s
someday,
night.
Someday.
Someday, yeah. It's 90s night at Bridgestone Arena. I know that's going to be a lot of fun against a very good Panthers team. Looking forward to it tonight, Hal.
Yep, it's got to be a lot of even flow out there tonight.
Oh, I see what you did there. Well done with the Pearl Jam. Yeah. Very, very good. Skillsy, appreciate it as always. Nashville's best deal this week is from Barrio Burrito Bar in Murfreesboro. At Barrio Burrito Bar, every bite is a celebration of fresh ingredients, vibrant specs, and bold flavors dancing on your taste buds like a fiesta in your mouth. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals and get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last. Appreciate them. Chasing Big Joe. Joe off today. He'll be back tomorrow. And so we needed a little help. Nick Frazier along for the ride as well. Adam Vingan is going to join us now from Bridgestone Arena as they get ready to host DVD. Adam, what's going on? Maybe.
It's disconnected.
Oh, okay. Dr. Crane is scrambling behind the board. So that's my bad. I should have given him more of a heads up on that. We'll have Adam. I think we have Adam now.
I'm here. Hello.
Are you ready for a wonderful edition of DVD?
I am. Looking forward to it. We're going to talk about what we heard from Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi today. Tim Hasselbeck will join us. It's a full show. Looking forward to kicking it off at 11. But before we do that, I would love to oversee a really good competition here for celebrity birthdays.
Yes, so we will do that now. It is time for What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays. Brought to you by Jared Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. The only company you need for commercial construction services. Just visit them at jaredcompaniesinc.com. Dr. Crane?
All righty. First on the list here we have, gentlemen, is Let's All Eat Right Day. So whatever that is.
I'm trying to do that.
Yeah. I feel like it's a 2025 initiative.
I stepped on the scale last night, and it was like, oh, yep, it's time to eat right.
We also have National Chocolate-Covered Peanuts Day. Probably not the best to eat right, but hey, peanuts, healthiness. Let's see, National Clam Chowder Day. We were talking about that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? Let's see, a pistol patent day. So you patent on a pistol, a part or some sort. Let's see. That's what it says. I'm just going along with it. Quiet day is next. You can always take a little siesta
those.
Or a nap. Yep. And to wrap it up, we have World Spay Day. Spay?
For your pets?
Cat. Yeah, for a cat. Yeah, cat, dog.
Cat, dog.
All the above.
Yeah, that's important.
But short list today, but that's all I have.
Very good. All right, Adam, you're going to be the one, asking the questions.
I am. Remember, you have to get it within two.
And if you get it spot on, you get 2 points.
Correct. Let's start with Carrot Top. How old is Carrot Top today?
63.
57.
He is 60. You guys just missed out there. Actress Tia Leone. How old is Tia Leone today?
48.
50.
She is 59 today. All right, let's see. Comedian Chelsea Handler. How old is Chelsea Handler today?
40.
38.
She is 50 today.
Is she really? Wow.
Yes. She is 50 today. All right. Lead singer of a band I used to listen to back in the day, The Used, Burt McCracken. How old is Burt McCracken, lead singer of The Used, today?
You're going back to your younger days, aren't you?
My emo days, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say 44.
50.
He is 43. Chase is on the board. 1-0. Speaking of singers, Daniel Powder. He had the one-hit wonder Bad Day. So you had a bad day. How old is Daniel Powder today?
Still like one of the most overused songs in sports. Daniel, I'm going to say 45.
41.
He is 54.
Wow.
54 today. Chase, you better get this one right.
Uh-oh.
The limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun himself, Ric Flair. How old is Ric Flair today?
Oh, he's having a hard time holding these alligators down. Ric Flair, 76.
88.
76 on the dot.
Woo!
I would have been very disappointed in Chase McCabe had he not gotten that. Bo Nix, Denver Broncos quarterback Bo Nix. How old is Bo today?
Bo knows. 24.
22.
He is 25 today. Chase is up 4-0. Fred Van Fleet, basketball player. Fred Van Fleet, I believe, played for Wichita State. His college ball for Wichita State. How old is Fred Van Fleet today?
37.
34.
He is 31 today. Brock Besser, Vancouver Canucks forward Brock Besser. How old is Brock Besser today?
He is 31.
28.
He is indeed 28 on the nose.
Nice.
Frazier's on the board. It's 4-2. All right, let's do two more here quickly. Let's see. Not a lot of great birthdays today.
There's a big local one if you've looked on Titans Twitter, but I do not know his age.
Okay, I haven't seen that, and I don't want to waste time. So let's go to Sally Jesse Raphael, talk show host.
Oh,
Sally
wow.
Jesse Raphael. How old is she today?
83.
80.
She is 83 on the nose. Chase McCabe up 6-2. One more. Singer Justin Jeffrey of the boy band 98 Degrees. How old is Justin Jeffrey of 98 Degrees today?
44.
46.
He is 52. Chase wins today 6-2. I'm very proud of Chase. If he would have not, if you didn't get Ric Flair right on the nose, man, I would have been really disappointed in you. But good on you. Chase wins 6-2.
I had to give that. All right, here's the one you miss. A very happy birthday to Derek Mason's former head coach, Titans Ring of Honor member, the Mustache Jeff Fisher, who is 67 years young, the commissioner of AF1 and principal owner of the Nashville Cats.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
So we love that. Adam, thanks for jumping in a little early. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you here in just a few minutes. That is going to do it for us. As we do at the end of every show, guys, it's Tuesday, but it's a pretty day. You got to be feeling good. If you're not, talk to someone. We're always here for you. You can dial 988 on your cell phone. We need you here. We want you here. You are loved. We appreciate everyone that listens every day. But, you know, we always give our message of mental health and how important it is. We all go through it. Reach out and talk to someone. You can talk to me, Joe, Dr. Crane. We love you. And more importantly, God loves you. That's going to do it for us. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.